than to preach anywhere else. When I get to some places, I am very careful what I say and how I say it. Because sometimes I go to preach, my wife will say, you're not preaching to your members in NCC, so they don't have the background you have. There are some things I say that you just understand. Oh, come on, it's pastor, don't worry. But there are some things you say like that, as carelessly as you want to say them. They're not wrong, but you have to explain yourself every sentence. So when they give you 15 minutes to 30 minutes to preach, the 30 minutes you will spend explaining one thing that you have said. Praise God. It's easy to pastor this place. Okay, so I started talking about giving and receiving. So I will go back to giving and receiving. For two Sundays, we have a digression, which is good for us. We just walk by the Spirit anyways. Giving and receiving. Quickly, let me kind of remind you, because sometimes when you say some things, they look challenging to people. Because especially when they get result from certain practices over the years, and you are bringing something or trying to explain the scriptures to them in a new way. One of the things I've been trying to explain, especially from Is God a Killer series, is the fact that whatever we read in the epistles are actually the explanation of the scriptures. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. What this means is that when we turn to the epistles, which is from the book of Romans, you know, to Jude, or some people arguably would say the book of Revelation as well, they are the explanation of the scriptures. The scriptures being Genesis to Malachi. Just on rare occasions, maybe the book of Hebrews and Paul's letter to the Corinth, that you will hear the Old Testament. There is nothing old in the entire Bible. The Bible is a full package that you have to read together. Now, the problem is not usually what is written. The problem usually is how we read what is written. So that people now have different interpretations to the scriptures. But it ought not to be like that. So, in the days of Paul, if they had had a meeting like this in the morning, Paul likely would have said, oh, open your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Do you understand? So, it would have read from the book of Isaiah. Or perhaps Peter would have said, yes, open your Bible to the book of Ezekiel. But because those days there was no chapter or verses. Chapter and verses were introduced by English and French scholars, which is good. There's nothing wrong with it. But the Bible was written as one single document. So there was no chapter, no verses. And, you know, from right to left in the Aramaic, in Hebrew's writing. So Paul would have said, open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Let me expand from the book of Malachi. As Jesus, the Bible says, was handed over the book in Luke chapter 4, and he opened and read from the book of Isaiah, which we now call Isaiah, chapter 60, right? 61. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and all of all that. But he read from the book of Isaiah and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes, and he kept it and sat down again. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 13. Acts of Apostles 13. Acts of Apostles 13 from verse 14. I just quickly want to bring this to you because you see, by the time I start explaining again about giving and receiving, which sometimes people begin to wonder, how is it? Someone sent me a message and said, 90% of the things you teach so far, I understand it, I agree it's the Bible. But why is it that it's only you, from only you I hear it? Is it that you have exclusive reserve of the revelation of God? I said, no. No, I just read the Bible. You cannot be a good Christian without diligently reading the Bible. You cannot replace the reading of the Bible with hearing sermons. It's good to hear sermons, but it is very important that you read your Bible as well. He says, Acts of Apostles 13, come on now, verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. And after the reading, notice that word, the reading. After the reading of the law and the what? Prophets. Excuse me, what's the law and the prophets? The scriptures. Genesis to Malachi, isn't it? Please pay attention. So after reading the law and the prophets. So in their day, when they meet like this, what did they read? Come on, church. What did they read? The law and the what? And the prophet. Now, don't forget that the disciples of Jesus did not know how to read the Bible. Because it's a how to read the Bible. Now, interestingly, the word for read there is the word for anagnosis. It's from the root word anaginosko, which means to read again. Or to distinguish. Or to know accurately. Please pay attention. So it's from the word anaginosko. To read accurately or to read precisely. To read the way it should be read. So it says, after the reading, the anaginosko, to read precisely. To read, to distinguish what you are reading. Are you following this now? After they have done that, the law. And what did they read? The law and the prophet. Now, again, the disciples of Jesus did not know how to read the Bible. That Luke 24, 45 now says, he opened their understanding. The word for open it there is the word for something that was done the first time. Like a woman that gave birth for the first time. He opened their understanding. That they might understand. What did Jesus make them understand? The scriptures. Are you following this now? So the scriptures being Genesis to Malachi. Please pay attention. Pay attention this morning. So what Jesus read to the disciples and opened their understanding. How did he open their understanding? He began to teach. He began to teach from it. Look at verse 46. He began to teach them. It was his teaching that opened their understanding and said unto them, thus it is written. Did you understand that now? So what Jesus did was to open their understanding. That word open again, please pay attention. Pay attention. The word open again is the word for what opened the matrix. It's like for the first time you're understanding something. You know how you could have been hearing about something and for the first time you understand. So, I see. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, I see. Oh, is that what you are trying to talk about all along? You should have said it this way now. Because now you understand it. So, when he says, and he said to them, and thus it is written, and thus he behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. What Jesus was saying is from the scriptures, the law and the prophets. Please pay attention. I'm going somewhere with this. And this says, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, Luke, being a doctor, had attention for details. He was a detailed, precise, and accurate writer. Please pay attention. Because it's only Luke that told us that Jesus, after resurrection, spent 40 days, day and night, back to back, teaching his disciples how to read the Bible. Please pay attention. 10 days after the 40 days of Jesus' teaching became Pentecost, which is 50 days after the feast of Passover, they celebrate the Pentecost, which is called in the Hebrew language the feast of what? The ingathering, the feast of weeks, the ingathering, the bringing in of the harvest. So, it ought to be 49 days after the Sabbath. The Passover, rather. Beg your pardon. After the Passover. So now, for those 40 days in between that we make the 50 days of the ingathering, the pouring, Jesus was teaching them concerning the kingdom. 40 days. Back to back. Back to back. Back to back. He taught them. The 10 days after, the Holy Spirit, they began to function in the gifts of the Spirit. Then Peter now stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, we are not drunk as you think we are drunk. Peter carried Joel chapter 2, which is an event that happened to their fathers. And within that time, Joel prophesied and said, the Spirit of the Lord will be poured upon flesh. My sons and daughters will prophesy, dream dreams, and old men will see vision. Peter took that portion, brought it again and said, these guys are not drunken people. This is what the scripture said. Do you understand? Because Peter had sat with Jesus after the resurrection, and he now observed the way Jesus interpreted the Bible, anagnosko. From there, the way they read the scriptures and interpreted it was different from the way the Pharisees read it and interpreted it. Not that they are reading two scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying? Please pay attention. So, the Bible says, after they have read, in Acts 13 verse 15, after they have read. Now, look at Acts 28 again. I just quickly want to say this, so that you will not think that when we read the Bible in a particular way, we are actually bringing new things. No, we're not bringing new perspective. We're only reading the scriptures again. Acts of Apostles 28:23. Acts 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodgings, to whom he expounded. The word is to expose or declare or make clear to someone. Please pay attention. To whom he expounded and testified. The word for testify there is the word for to attest to. For whom he testified, that means he went through them. The kingdom of God. Please pay attention. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the what? The law and out of the prophet, from morning till evening. Did you see that now? So they taught. How did Paul teach? You know, Acts of Apostles 13, it was Paul that stood up and started talking. And the things Paul said will amaze you. Here again, Paul says, the Bible says, he taught from the law. Please pay attention. And the prophets. What I'm trying to get you to see is that what you read in Deuteronomy, what you read in Exodus, what you read in Isaiah, what you read in Malachi, what you read in Zephaniah, what you read in Esther, what you read in the Psalms, from there expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Please pay attention. Meaning that they did not put in their own meaning into the scriptures. They only interpreted it the way the prophets wrote the scriptures. Are you following this? If you're following, say, I'm following. Now, when Peter was going to speak, Peter said that no prophecy of the scriptures is of private interpretations. Meaning you cannot wake up one morning and say, well, this is what God is telling me from this Bible. Mm-mm. There must be a consistent interpretation of the truth. Please pay attention. Therefore, all that they had to say, or there is to say, has been said by the prophets, because the prophet or the scriptures are the foundation of the epistles. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. So what it means is that they picked from the laws and the prophet and expounded it. So please watch this. So when it comes to giving, it is not that there's an approach that God had to giving in the Old Testament that is different from the approach now that Jesus has come. It means, because you see, for something to be true, please pay attention, it has to be what? Consistent, regardless of dispensations and time. So it means that if, go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Are you with me this morning? You really need to give me your attention this morning and follow very carefully. Please pay attention to these things. Luke chapter 6. From verse 27. Luke 6:27. Please pay attention. Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Aha. Well, it is because Jesus came that God is saying this. No. It must be true in the times of the prophet for it to be true in our time. Are you following what I'm saying? Because whatever Jesus taught was not something he brought from heaven. Jesus didn't say, you know, before I came to earth, when me and God used to have deeper spiritual conversations. He said, in the time, I remember one time that I was in God's bedroom. And as we were talking, suddenly, Michael just entered and God sent him out. he didn't say, well, there was something that God, there was a secret. There's a secret. I want to expose to you now 7 secrets of wealth. If you read the Old Testament well, please pay attention to what I want to say now. It's going to shock you. It's going to shake the foundation of some of the things you know. If you read the Old Testament well, there is no way you can teach material wealth from the Old Testament. If you read it well, there is no way you can teach certain things that people teach from the Old Testament, because they are messages that are written in the face and through the history and narrative of men, but the lessons are in it. And most times, our eyes are on the signs. Our eyes are not on the words. In biblical interpretation, you don't put your eyes on symbols. You put your eyes on the words. It's what is said, not what is done. Are you with me? Now he says, bless them that curse you. That means God has never been in the business of cursing from the beginning. Bless them. Please watch this. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Verse 29, he says, and to him that smite thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away their cloth, forbid him not to take their coat also. Give. To every man that ask of thee, and of him that rather take away thy goods, ask him not again. Now, if Jesus is saying, give to every man that asks of you, it means that God will never ask you to do something that he himself is not able, willing, and ready to do. That means God is a giver. Please pay attention. God is a giver. James 1:5 in the NIV translation says, God gives to every man without finding fault. God is a giver. Now, men do not receive from God, not because there is a condition attached to the receiving of God, but because, please pay attention, you have a choice to make to receive or not what I give you. Oh, that's where faith comes in. Faith is not a condition for receiving what God gives. Faith is your response to what God gives. Oh, are you following this now? Because God gives and is a cheerful, liberal, generous giver. To put a condition to his giving has made it look like, well, you have to attain that particular height to be able to get what he's going to give you. So when he says in James 1:6, let that man ask in faith, not wavering anything, knowing that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, please pay attention. It isn't God that is preventing the man from receiving. Even Jesus will say to them, if you shall say to this mountain, you see, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you shall not doubt in your heart. So the doubting is about the man. The unbelief is about the man. He has nothing to do with God. Because again, I hear people say, well, the promises of God, they have conditions. No, 2 Corinthians 1 says, all the promises of God in him, they are yes. That is, they are so. Amen. So there is no condition with God's giving. However, you've got to exercise your own self. So faith is a positive response to what God gives. Are you following this? So I've got to exercise myself and say, if God can't do it for this person, I know it's available for me also. Not until I meet the conditions, but it's just there. It's just there, and I can receive it. Are you following this? I can receive it. It's just there. And the reason why you don't get it is not because God is putting a cap or a condition or a limitation on what he gives. It's just simply because unbelief is there. Doubt is there. Condemnation is there. Fear is there. Unbelief is there. A whole lot of stuff that you've got to deal with in your mind to be able to receive from God. And that's why I am telling you, God is a generous giver who does not find fault in giving. If God says, give to any man that asks of you, God is going to give you if you ask. Are you following this? If God says, give to... So, please pay attention. Therefore, we have painted God wrongly. And we have preached God in a wrong way when we say, when you give to God, God will give to you. Is it making sense? I know you'd be better motivated if I had come to this place this morning and said, look, as I gave my car, sometimes in November last year, by December 31st, somebody called me from a certain place and said, sir, God told me to give you my car. Can God tell people to give you things? Yes. Does it happen? Yes. Should you believe God for it? Yes. But will God give you only because you give God? No. Why? God is not a man. Man Or human beings are the one that will do, if you rub my back, I rub your back. If you do for me, I do for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was no merit or qualification. God gave his son. So God's giving is not with a condition. But please pay attention. Every gift can have the right of refusal. If you give me something, I can say, thank you, sir, I don't want. True of us? I can exercise myself. In exercising myself over what you give me, determines whether I will receive it or not. And that's what James 1:6 meant by saying, that man that did not have faith cannot receive. Because you see, in Christ, you've got faith. So all that you need unto life and godliness has been given to you in Christ Jesus. So you don't have any reason why you should not receive from God. Not receiving from God has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with you. Are you following this? Now, so look at this. It says, give to him that ask of you, and to them that will borrow from you, he says, do not ask again. In fact, in Luke, Jesus says, in Matthew 7, he says, if you, being evil, knows how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? Did you see that? Give. God gives. And God's giving does not come with a condition. God's giving is not, oh, until you sow and cast and do some of these things you will receive. No, for God, it doesn't. Look at 1 John. Look at 1 John. Are you with me this morning? So God gives, but we don't receive because we don't walk the way God walks. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. From verse 11. 1 John 3, 11. If you are here, say I'm here. 1 John 3, 11, it says, in this is the children, 3:10, forgive me. In these, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In these, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Please follow. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. Now when you hear from the beginning, usually it's from Genesis. From the beginning. That we should love one another. Now, from the beginning usually points to from Genesis. Are you following this now? From Genesis, from the beginning. If I look at that, not as Cain. Again, from Genesis. Are you following this now? Are you with me this morning? Not as Cain, that ye, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. He says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down, please pay attention to this now. Because he laid down his life for us. And we, Ophelio, ought to, we owe it. to another person to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Please pay attention to this. Because he laid down his life for us. Now, what did God do for us? He laid down his life for us. What did God do for you? He laid down his life for us. Are you following this? He laid down his life for us. Did you ask him before he did that? No, he laid down his life for you. Now in Luke 6, Jesus said that when you give without expecting to receive, you are acting like your Father who is in heaven. So he laid down his life for us. Now the believer's love walk is not seen in his loving God who he has not seen, in quote. The believer's love walk is in loving another brother in the faith. By loving that brother, he has proved that he has received God's love. Did you hear that? So in my love for another person, I show that I have love for God. So we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Please pay attention. I'm going to say some things this morning, and I pray that God is going to give you good understanding of these things. He laid down his life for the brethren. Look at the next verse. Verse 17 now says, but whosoever hath these world's good. Aha! Please follow. It means that these world's good, God is not the one in control of it. Pastor, but the Lord, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that are in, you are correct. God created everything, you are also correct. But God gave it to humanity. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. Please tell your neighbor, pay attention. Very important. You've got to pay attention. Please stop the person and say, pay attention. Yeah. Oh, good. Now, the reason why you've got to pay attention to this is because I want to say some things that are very, very significant. But whosoever hath the world's good and seeth his brother have need. Remember, he has said that Christ laid down his life for us, so ought we to lay down our lives for the brethren, right? He now says, but whosoever hath the world's good, he called it the world's good. The things of the world's good. Whosoever hath the world's good, and he seeth his brother have need and shorteth his bowels of mercy, of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Please pay attention. Just wait on verse 17. So it means that when a believer does not give to his brother, what that believer is doing is that he is affecting himself. He's not growing and developing and operating in the God life. He's shutting his bowels of compassion. He's not tuning himself to the rhythms of the Spirit. What it means is like someone who is giving himself to sins and lies and deceitfulness. What happens to you is you expose your conscience wrongly. Are you following this? So when you see a brother in need and you shut, it means you've got what it takes to help the brother. Are you following this now? You saw a brother in need and you just wink your eyes away. He says, what you are doing is you have shut up your bowels of compassion. You've got it, but you refuse to exercise it. following this? You refuse to exercise. What it means is you're not growing. You're not growing. So when you don't give as a believer, please get this carefully. I am saying to you, when you give as a believer, it to the ministry, you are partnering with the work of God. When you give to a brother, you are partnering with God. When you give to a minister or to the work of God, you are partnering with God. You are in service. You are in ministry. You are not giving because the pastor is a prophet and an anointed man of God and you want to tap into his anointing. Mm-mm. You are giving because you are acting like God, who sees needs and he meets the need. You are acting because you are gracious. You are opening the bowels of compassion that is within you. The bowels of compassion, he called it love. So it is wrong when people tell us, if you give, you are going to get. If you give God, you will get. God gives without expecting to receive. And when he does that, he shows that he is God. 2 weeks ago, I spent time distinguishing between investment and giving in the ministry. When you are doing business, give expecting to receive. Give expecting to receive because you're working. So don't go to your business and place there and say, like the miracle somebody got last week Sunday or Monday, they just sent text and say, come, say, what do you want us to give you? Say, Pastor just preached about giving. He said, anything, just give me anything. Don't say anything. What do you want us to give you? Think, pause, take some time. My monthly allowance, if you give me like about 250, it'll be good for me. Do you understand? Don't say anything. Just give me anything. That one is business. That one is work. But when you are in the church, when you give your offerings, when you give to a pastor, when you give to a fellow brother in the faith, you are not giving because it's a fertile ground. You are giving because you've got what it takes to be like God, the bowels of compassion. And each time, please pay attention, each time there is a need in the ministry, need in the church, need in a brother's life, and you tell yourself, I don't have, I can't give, I don't do this. You are affecting spiritual flow, your spiritual flow. You are shutting yourself up. You are limiting you. You are not expressing the God life as you should express it. And it's wrong. He says, he shut up the bowels of compassion. Please pay attention. A brother that hath the words good, that means that God is not the one determining who is going to have the words good or who is not going to have the words good. Let me say this, it's going to shock you. Christians are not the owners of the earth. Did you hear that? Christians are not the owner of the earth. We are supposed to be the one to... it's a lie. It's not in the Bible. God gave the earth to mankind.
Yes, sir.
That's why Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, they can have money than you, a Christian, because they have the knowledge of how the world works better than you. We are going to take over Dangote's refinery. We're going to take over. We possess it. Brethren, spread your hand to this direction. It's the southwest Nigeria, Lagos. Everything there, take it. Take it. I take it. I take over the refineries. I take over the businesses. Is covetousness growing inside of you? That is not scriptural prayer. The earth does not belong to Christians. The earth belongs to mankind. Are you with me? The earth belongs to mankind. The earth does not belong to Christians. So a brother can have the world's good, and some brothers may not have the world's good. Is it possible to be a Christian and be poor? Yes. Eh? Yes. Another question. Being poor and being a Christian, does it mean you don't know God, you don't have God life? No. No. It just means that when we get home, or when we get into continuous learning and development, we need to tell the brother how to engage the marketplace. How to match up his potentials with what is out there. How to do business with his hands. How to work so that he can have to give. So there's nothing wrong in a minister working so that he can have to give. When will we start seeing pastors saying there are 10 people in this place, 10 people, 10, 10 people, 10 people in this meeting this morning that God said I should give each one of them 100,000 naira each? It's always the reverse. Because there's nothing wrong in a pastor walking to give. Check throughout the book of Proverbs, it says, a lazy man says, there's a lion in the street. So if I go out, he's going to kill me. So he sits down in his house. A little sleep. You can never love sleep and be rich. And work doesn't kill. Abby? Work doesn't kill. You cannot be lazy and be rich. Because you've got to engage the principles of the world. And so you've got to learn it. You've got to experience it. You've got to go to people to teach you. To know it. So that you can make profitable ventures. But sit down in one place. I receive. Miracle money now. The Bible says, whosoever hath the world's good. So there are people that have the world's good. In fact, look, let me show you something. Romans. Romans 15. before Romans, look at James. Look at James 2. They will come to Romans 15 because it's possible to be a Christian and be poor. James 2 from verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with gold ring, in goodly apparel, and then come in also a poor man in a vile raiment. So, this is a church. Please pay attention. It's the same church. And somebody comes with gold ring, goodly apparel. So, it means the Bible. I mean, this is James talking. He says, you can come to church with your gold ring and goodly apparel. So, look good. If you've got it, look good. People should come to church looking good if they've got it. And don't go tell them why souls are perishing, you're wearing. Don't even do that. Don't even tell them. What? Revo. This is your gold wristwatch. Why so? This one can feed 100 orphans. Do you understand how we say these things? Why souls are perishing? I said, look, this is your shoe. We feed like, we'll pay 2 school fees. He can afford it. He's got it. Let him wear it. Did you hear me? Yeah. If they come into your assembly, a man with gold ring and a goodly apparel, put it on. And there come in someone with a vile raiment. Okay, so he's a poor believer. What the Bible says is that we shouldn't say, she look good. Dressed well, yeah. I like his pocket shape. He's good. His pocket square is good. I mean, I like your gown too. Let them sit in front seat. So that, when people come in, they feel the presence of our church. You know how churches are doing now? Carnal things. Strategically positioning people to sit somewhere and the poor brethren to sit at the back. Are you listening? They put some people that they look, well, palms under. Let him go back. Just telling the seat is reserved. A polite way of doing it now is to write reserve on seats. So when somebody is coming, they just like this. Ushers will just like this. This other one too would like this. Okay, they know that it is a revo that is coming in. It is gold resort. You know, and his perfume. Now when he enter, for the first 10 minutes, everybody like, wow. He has entered. The vision must not be amongst believers, is what he's saying. We don't have respect of persons. We cannot say because you are not looking well, go back. You are looking good, come forward. It's wrong. It's not scriptural. He says, and he that weareth a gay clothing now means very fine. It's not the usage of the word now. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand out there and sit here under my footstool. He's wrong. Look at the verse. He says, are you not partial in yourselves? Are you not become judges and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world? God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. So they are poor, but they are rich in faith. Why? Because the richness of faith is in the person of Jesus. The giving of the Spirit is the blessing that God promised to Abraham. So Abraham's blessings is not Abraham had camels and cattle and donkeys and sheep and horses. Abraham's blessing is the Spirit. It's the Spirit. Galatians 3:14 says that. It's the Spirit. So he says, he comes with a good cloth. He now said to them, he says, verse 6, but you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Verse 9, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and you are convinced of the law as transgressors. Verse 15, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, please watch this, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and be filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if he had no works, is dead, being alone. Can you see the context of faith without works is dead? Can you see the context now? The context is a brother does not have food. He is naked. What should you do? Give. Don't say, be filled. I declare you are filled. I declare you are, put your hand in your pocket. Watch this. We give to meet needs, but we don't give to make the poor brother a millionaire. Did you hear that? We give to meet needs. We don't give to make the brother a millionaire. Because no matter how much I give you, If you don't know how to reproduce yourself, you'll still be poor. No matter how much comes in, if too much goes out, you'll still be poor. So you don't give to the person to become rich. You give to meet that need. He needs food, go buy food. He needs clothing, go buy clothing. In order for this brother to now begin to have to give and to live well, what do we tell him? What should you tell him as a Christian? Eh? 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 I'm hearing you. Eh? I can't hear you very well. Eh? Say it again. Tell your neighbor, walk. Walk. Go and work. Go and work. Have you noticed? Let me get out of that. So faith without works is dead means give him when he has needs. But it is not your giving to him that will make him rich. I can give you in quote. Now I want to be careful in using this word because you are used to it in a particular way. But just be careful. I can give him a seed. Aha, see your head now is going everywhere. The seed, I don't mean, by seed I mean an assistance. Do you understand? Please, gentlemen and ladies, if a preacher preaches a message and he's blessed you, the right thing to do is, you know, you feel like giving him money, right? There's nothing wrong in doing that. Did you hear me? There's nothing wrong in doing that. But there's everything wrong in, you bless me, sir. I want to tap into this anointing. Bless me, bless me. Bless me, sir, now. Do you understand? Mm-mm. You blessed me, and I thank God for your life and ministry. And because the Bible says, if somebody minister to you, words, you minister kind of thing, so you give him, it's good. It's right. It's godly. But to do it because you want to get something from him is wrong. It's transactional. And in the first place, the anointing of God cannot, should not be merchandised. 3 weeks ago, I showed you how Peter said that your money perish with you. You think you can buy the gift of God. But that's what we do today. In order to get the healing, you need to tap into the anointing. You need to sow. They are covetous people. Listen, and the way they preach it is to make you think that the more money you have shows how close you are to God. When a preacher comes and says, look, when I started this ministry in 1983, Brother Jakes, can you remember when I started this? He was part of the few people that just joined this church that time. Oh, I remember. Oh, my God. God has been good to us. Those times, he wasn't doing well at all. He was sleeping in my bus quarters. So now, he has his own plane. He has his own. There's nothing wrong in having a plane. Do you understand? There's nothing wrong with those things. But there's a way we say it that is wrong. There's a way we say it. You know, there's a saying in the book of Elders. It's not the Bible. It's an adage. When I say book of Elders, it's an adage. They say when a goldsmith is eating an iron on the same spot is because he wants to bring something out of it. Are you following this? There is a way you can be consistent in something and you are growing and developing and learning and relearning and unlearning in that field. No matter what, give it 5-10 years, you'll be known for something. You've been known for something. It was a lot of things. Consistency makes people to trust you. And if they can trust you, they will give you the right of influence. If people find out that you are the same, you are doing the same thing, you are committed to the same thing, they'll begin to trust you. And that trust will give you the right to influence them. And because of that influence, they will be part of what you are doing. But for Niku, for Ladide, the graph is like this. You start today. This wood is bringing out smoke. You take it out. That one is bringing out smoke. You take it out. This one is bringing out smoke. You take it out. Which one will cook the food? Did you not know that there is no fire without smoke? Even check your gas. It's in the book of elders. You will see some black. That's why you still wash it. Tell your neighbor, be consistent. Yeah. Sometimes people don't invest in you because they can't see consistency. They say, let's wait. 5 months, he will say, this is another, God is leading him into another thing. You've not seen people like that. They just come and meet you and say, Brother Jakes, the Lord told me. One of the ways I used to prove God told me of people is time. It's time. So when he say God told him, I say, okay, fine. Let's watch. 1 year, the language is changing. So, you see, I wasn't really sure it was God. I said, is it because of the problem? Or is it because things are not looking like God said it? Did you know that you can stay on something for consistently? And people begin to know you for it. So faith without works, let me go back, is dead. If you see a brother who has need, look, that you have money doesn't make you more spiritual than I am. So don't make anybody make you feel that something is wrong with your life. Oh yeah, but something may be wrong with your work. And your common sense. Do you understand? But something may be wrong with your common sense. Something may be wrong with your human engagement. Something may be wrong with your social capital. Something may be wrong with your, you know, there's a way that we say you should be consistent on something doesn't mean you should be doing foolish things and still remain there. Do you understand? So you should be consistent. So I will stay here. People must see that. Olga, it is foolishness to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. You've got to grow. You've got to learn. You've got to relearn. You've got to unlearn. Are you following what I'm saying? Look at 1 Timothy. Quickly now, 1 Timothy. Are you learning something? 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. From verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Tell your neighbor. Because your boss is a believer, doesn't mean you should disrespect him. Yeah. That your unit head is a believer doesn't mean you should not come and say, well, I've got a spirit as well. God told me this. You know, Christians are supposed to be the best people to live and walk this earth. But you know. It's wrong. It's not right. Because you have a believing boss or a believing unit head or a believing HOD or a believing pastor or a believing president, doesn't give you the right to answer. Say, I am also hearing God. Nathan and... You remember what happened? Abiram and... I am also hearing God. What are you talking about? Nonsense. That just came out of your mouth. You're a believer without conduct. There's a problem with you. Something is terribly wrong and you need urgent ministration. Urgent ministration. Where you can call an elder, a pastor, a unit head, or even your boss or a president or a fellow brother, say, sit down. Bobby, let's put the reverend aside. Let me talk to you. I've been watching you. See, the same spirit you have is the same spirit I have. Just that I've been respecting you. But now, I need to tell you my mind. For you to even get there, you need ministration. I will do altar call for you today. And you must come out. Because we need to blow fresh breezes of grace upon you. Are you following this? Something is terribly wrong with your spiritual conduct. You are a Christian, no? You are still born again, no? You are still heavenly bound, no? But something is terribly wrong. And you will never... they that... Don't despise people because you cannot speak with tongues. And you're seeing vision. That's why, no matter what, there's a saying in the book of Elders, you don't dry all clothes in the sun. There are some, it's just the shade that we heat it because it is a very fine cloth. An expensive one. That's a word of knowledge. These things exalt and teach. Quickly now, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Please pay attention. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of word. Wherefore commit envy, railings, envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, do what? Withdraw. That you have cars and a beautiful house as a Christian, we thank God for you. You have the world's good. Does not mean that she is less of a Christian. She's a believer. And she deserves your respect. Deserves your honor. Deserves your esteem. And it should not make you think that God is less good to you. God is good to all men. God is good to you. There are poor believers, but it doesn't mean that God created them that way. And it's not God who wants them to be poor. Is outside of giving and receiving. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. So God is not the one controlling the resources of the earth. Man controls the resources of the earth. Man determines the engagement. So to give God because you want to receive is anti-Christian. To give your brother in the faith, because you want to receive from him, because it's a fertile ground. Because Sister Mamu just said 2 days ago, last Sunday, I just, after service, just gave him money to Pastor Mike. And after giving him that money, as I was going out of the church, somebody gave me. As I got out of the gate, somebody gave me. As I got to the office, somebody gave me. That week, I knew he gave me. You know, superstition and gave. You know how we are superstitious. In Southwest Nigeria, they will say some people have, they have good head. So when they buy some things from you, you will sell. Can you remember those things? So they are fertile ground that if you tap into, you will sell. You've imported that into these scriptures. Most times we don't distinguish between man and God. We see God as man. God is not a man. God does not give because you give him. God will never give you because you give him. God gives regardless of you. But man will give you because you give them. That is what, go to Luke 6. Are you following this? God is not controlling the resources of the earth. Man controls it. Christians are not supposed to be the richest in the world. Mankind is supposed to be. Yes. Christians are not supposed to be the richest in the world. Mankind are supposed to be the richest. That's why God doesn't do that. He's a Christian. He's been working with us for 40 years. Top is money. Top it. No. Christians are not supposed to be the richest. I know I am saying some things that is troubling some people. But it's the truth. Mankind, God gave to all man. Luke 6. And he said, what does he now? What's the benefit of being a Christian? You are like God on the earth. You carry grace on the earth. So what advantage have we in business? Oh, you've got a lot of advantage because the Spirit of the Lord can guide and lead you. Oh, so what advantage do we have over life? Oh, you've triumphed over sin, Satan, and death. You're unique. You're exceptional. There's life upon you. So you can't even put the two together side by side. But the truth is, there are people who have knowledge. Someone was talking to me about geography. I just fell in love with the course. I wished I did geography. I'm telling you. Because he spent years studying. And he was talking about remote sensing. And I was like, what? If they have given me geography in Jamb, I would have come to church and pray, Lord, every enemy against my life. But it's a fine course that people have studied and they know what is on the ground, how to engage in it and how to turn it into resourceful things. You don't know it, do you? If you see a teen now in Jos, will you distinguish it? I had to tell the women packing those things around my house to show me what does a lead and tin look like. Because they will come and be packing it after every rain. I had to ask them. So I said, oh, this is how it looks like. I didn't know. I was stepping on it every day. But those who know it, when they see it, they take advantage of it. You likely may have been walking past those things every day because you don't know it. That's why who you learn from is not as important as that you are learning. Oda. Luke 6. Let's do this. Two scriptures and we close. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Luke 6. 35. In fact, look at from 32. If you love them which love you, what the word thank again, just to remind you, is the word for grace. Charis. What grace have you? Sinners also love those who love them. So it's not God. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank? The word again is charis. What grace have you? For sinners do the same. Verse 34. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what grace carries? Unmerited favor. What unmerited favor have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But dear now, nevertheless, love your enemies, do good, and lend open for nothing. Lend open for nothing. And your reward shall be great. What's your reward? You shall be the children of the highest. That's why 1 John 3 now says, if you see a brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, you are not doing well. You do not show that you have love in you. So, Pastor, what's the reward for giving? Growth. What's the reward for giving? Flowing in the Spirit. What's the reward for giving? Walking well. Expressing love. The love walk. Because the world is stingy and selfish. If you shut your bowels of compassion, you are just allowing selfishness to grow on your faith. It says, you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful. The word anta Christos, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your heavenly Father also, as your Father rather also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, Jesus, if you're not careful, you will not know he has entered into contrasting between God and man. Look at verse 38. He says, judge, and you shall not be judged. Condemn, and you shall not condemn. Give, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. This is man's way of doing things. Men transact. In verse 35, in verse 32, 33, 34, he tells you not to do that. In 35, he says that God gives because God is a lover. And so men, verse 36, it says, be ye therefore merciful, even as your heavenly Father is merciful. 37 now starts describing men. 37 now says, judge and shall not be judged. So if I mind my business, go mind your business. Don't be so. It now says in verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, pressed down. Sorry, good measure, pressed down and shaking together and running over, shall men give on into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, without it shall be measured to you again. This is how men behave, not how God behaves. Men are the ones that will give you because you give them. Men are the ones that will forgive you because you ask for it. Men are the one, God forgives us regardless. Can you remember Ephesians 1? Ephesians 1, 7, Colossians 1, 14. God does not forgive us because we ask for forgiveness. God has forgiven us. See, if before you became Christian, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and what he did after 2,000 years, you now received it. What it means is that God does not forgive sin only when you ask him. God forgives regardless. Are you following this? But men, they are not like that. You must beg me first. Please now. When you give me, I give you. When you rub my back, I rub your own. If you don't do that, I will not do that. If you fight me, I fight you. If you are at peace, I am at peace. Jesus says, that's what men do, not God. You serve a living God. You serve a different God. You serve a unique God. Let me show you one more before we close. So who is our example in giving? Jesus. Who should we follow when it comes to giving? Jesus. Meaning that giving has nothing to do with receiving. It's different from investment. When I invest in the world, I should expect to receive. But when I give to God or to ministers or a ministry, I am in service. 2 Corinthians 8 talks about it. We are in service. When you give, it's in service. Since you have said there is no receiving if we give, and there's no reason. So if I give, nothing happens. If I don't give, you see, I want this to enter very well, because next week when I start talking to you about some things, I'm putting it in perspective. When I start talking to you, see, believers ought to be rugged, aggressive giver. Because he has a bowel of compassion. He's a terrible giver. You know that kind of thing? When you say somebody is a, he gives. He's willing to give, readily to give. You don't have to wind him with a reward for him to give. Every time giving is preached in churches is as a result of reward. And so people give on that instance. Now, watch this. And people get back what they gave. Not because of what they gave, but because God is good. Did you hear that? Because God is not transactional, but God is just wondering, oh, they don't understand me. I'm a father regardless. I will give to my children. But in your mind, it's because you provoke God that God gave you. No, God cannot be provoked. If God provoke, you're in trouble. Is that God is just good. Oh, I vowed a vow that if 1st of February just meet me alive, I will do this for God. It's not because of your vow. It's because God is good. You just ask and God give. You know, I can't preach this everywhere. But I can preach it here. And from here, we can then take it out. God is not transactional. Can you tell your neighbor? God is not transactional. Tell your neighbor, as a child of God, in the ministry, you are not transactional. You give because you have the bowels of compassion. When you give to your brother or your sister or your pastor or to the work of the ministry, you are partnering with the work. You are in good service, which is good for you. And your reward is that you're a child of God. Rejoice in that. If that doesn't make you rejoice, we need to do special ministration for you. I am happy that I'm a child of God when I give. If I enter into a church and I find out that the speakers of that church was giving them problems during the service, and I have the ability, because believers give proportional to the ability, but they don't say they don't have. Because even when they were poor in Macedonia and Achaia, they still gave. In fact, Paul said they were in deep poverty. That's the word he used, deep poverty, but they still gave. Believers don't say, oh, we're not here. See, you are shorting your bowels of mercy. Say, I just got 10,000 naira from last week. This is the only money I have. And then you're telling me to give offering. Then you come to church and you just look for one 10 naira and put inside offering basket. Ah, you are shorting your bowels of compassion. Something is wrong. You are not allowing spiritual flow. Whatever cannot leave your hands, you are enslaved to it. And it's greed and selfishness, and it will kill you because it's a work of the flesh. The reason why you give is giving is the things of the spirit. Giving is an expression of the spirit life. When you don't give, you are walking in the flesh, and flesh will destroy you. Are you following this? So if you go to a church as a believer, and you see their microphone, they are doing it like this, forcing it to... In the middle of their singing, it goes off. And you have the ability to buy one right there and then. Don't go home and pray, Lord, should I give them? What are you praying about? After service, walk to the media. Excuse me, who is in charge of the media? I just found out your speakers are not good. What will it cost you to get another one? Say, take. And they don't even have to publicize it.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to publicize. They don't have to say, you know, last week, after service, Brother Lincoln gave us. That, you know, now you have to say, Honorable Apostle Doctor Prophet. Since I've been using your name, Bobby. No, Honorable Apostle Prophet Reverend Doctor Bobby. Then the name put JP. JP. Gave us this new equipment, and then it will be feeling like, yeah, you know, it's nothing.
You need ministration.
You need ministration. You need ministration. When I give because I'm a believer. I give because I am doing the love work. Because giving is a love work. Please pay attention to what I'm saying now. This is the concluding thoughts. Giving is a love work. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about tithing. And one of the things you will find is that God's tithe, the tithing system in the Old Testament is to make food available for the poor and the needy in the church, which we do now, which you're supposed to do through either your welfare offerings or something and all of all these things. And it was good. Because then meat is available in my house. Do you understand? Does God eat amala? Does he eat, does God take a carrot and watermelon? He doesn't do that. God is a spirit. Come on now. So when he's saying that the food may be plenty in my storehouse, it's not God that will eat it. It's not God that will eat it. It is still the same. See, truth must be consistent. It is still God provisioning for the poor. Don't go and tell them be filled. Mm-mm. It's faith without works. It will be dead. So God says, for you, I mean, in the Old Testament, the Moses now told them, give a tenth part, a tenth portion of all your income. Give it. Now the storehouses of heaven will be open. It doesn't mean that it is now when you tithe that God will now bless you. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. I'm going to expound on that next week. But watch this. When you don't give, is it wrong to tithe? I have not said that. I have not said that. Rather, what I am saying is that believers, they even do more than tithe. They do more than 10%. Believers can do, saints that have bowels of compassion, they don't do 10%. What are you talking about? 10%? For what? They do according to their ability. It means that in a church or in a believer's gathering, the giving will be relative and will be different. It will be according to their ability. But you will never see a believer saying, I don't have, and come to service and say, he doesn't have. You will never find that. Because even in their deep poverty, they still give. Can you live with people and you're so insensitive to a brother's need? Why is it you always trust God to speak to people from different places? You've never trusted God that you will hear who is going to have need when it is time for us to pray. Lord, who has a need in this church that I can meet? Why are you not releasing your bowels of compassion? Why are you closing it? Why are you shutting it up? Why are you walking in the flesh? Why are you selfish? Why are you so stuck on your salaries? No wonder more channels are not opening. Because the flesh wars with the spirit. There's a lot of conflict inside of you. I don't have to tell you, if you give to me today, tomorrow, your life will turn upside up. They say, yes, I have to give. He's a man of God. No, I don't have to cajole you. I'm a pastor. I could preach otherwise so that I can benefit from it. But God forbid that we should be like that. We must match our Christian faith with the right teachings. And the truth I tell you under God, and I will keep teaching it, if you don't give, it is you shutting your own bowels of compassion. It is you walking in the flesh, and the flesh will kill you. The flesh will drain you. Because there's nothing good in the flesh. They that are of the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. Cannot please God. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of the spirit. But when you're in the spirit, You give. You are not motivated to give, you give. That's why believers must be taught how to give. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1, and then we will close. If you have the NIV translation, I would greatly appreciate it. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. You must give because you are in the love walk. Why should we give, Pastor? Because we're in the love walk. Why must I give? I am walking in love when I give. I'm opening the bowels of compassion. Guess what? The gift of the Spirit flow through love. Faith that worketh by love. Miracles work by love. And he had compassion on them and he began to heal them. When you short your bowels of compassion, you are not just short because you don't give. Because you need a motivation for sogundogoji. If you give this one, I get this one. Because you need a motivation for increasing something. No wonder you can't even hear things. If something as simple as giving is something you have to battle and pray and fast and cry and okay, God take it. Take it and let me be. If you have to be like that, how can you hear? Simple thing as don't travel today. How can you hear simple thing as don't put your money in that business yet? Wait. Your friend comes to you and says, I got 100-fold of return this month. God says, wait. Then the market goes down. God says, enter. Now I want you. How can you do that? How can you even hear in the first place? When something as simple as giving is a war, we have to fast and pray for you to give. And whine you. Look at you. And the battery, once the battery goes off, no, come on. Now concerning, you don't have the NIV translation. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Oh, great. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, he said to the church in Galatia also. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. You should do what? So your giving is what? Deliberate. It's intentional. It's not something you come to church and you say, how much is ESF? This one, Indomie. This one, rice. Then you say, give me change. You should not even come to church and collect change from offering. I'm not joking, I'm serious. You should not collect change. Because every day of the week, you've already set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. In keeping with your income. In what? Keeping with your what? In keeping with your... So it doesn't... So you're earning big. And you're putting... You're not deliberate. When was the last time you up your giving? Every 2 months you should up it. In fact, every month. Our general verse, we say, what God knows that cannot pass through your hand, he will not give to your hand. Because he knows he will stop there. Many lives will be destroyed because they will give you. Selfishness will not allow you to transmit it. He says, in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections. will have to be made. That's why in our confession we always say, I am deliberate with my giving. I give deliberately. Doesn't have to be until someone now comes and prop you up. So what you will give next Sunday, you ought to prepare it today. Today. So when you come, you're not asking for change. In fact, you are saying, I want mint. Not the most ugliest of your money. It's good ones. You put it there, arrange it well. Because you're in service. You're in partnership. And you're doing the love work. Because flesh will not rule over you. Sin cannot rule over you. Because you are a child of God. And because it is good to give. God is a giver. God gave you in Christ Jesus. And because of that, you also are going to give. And you will not tell somebody, go and be filled. No, you are going to say, look, I have, according to my ability, I will give. And that's how to do it. Let's rise on our feet this morning. You want to be a conscious, deliberate giver? Quickly, come forward. I want to be deliberate with my giving. I've shot my bowels of compassion. I'm not going to do that anymore. From today, I'm making a new decision to be in service through my giving. Please come forward. We're going to take the communion this morning. And we believe God with you that things will change. Or maybe you feel that you have locked up your conscience when it comes to giving because you don't even want to be deliberate anymore. I still want to invite you to come forward quickly as we pray, as we go this morning.